you will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness,
adding value, showing that you have value,
to the downside of venture capital.
You will not own the company.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO and today's guest host.
Hello again and welcome to another episode of the Tough Things First podcast, where we pick the brain of Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO, Mr. Ray Zinn. Hello, Ray. How are you?
I'm doing good, Guy. Thanks for being with me again today.
Oh, man, I love doing these podcasts with you. They are educational for me, and that's a blessing for sure. I wanted to talk to you about what I like to call rational frugality. When I read your book, Tough Things First, one of the stories that popped out of there was somebody who claimed that back during the Micrel days, the company that you founded and led for 37 years, that you practically handed the budget from a cigar box, I think was the phrase that he used. And I know it was a joke, but it was enlightening to see that and some of the other things you said in Tough Things First about how an organization from end to end needs to be what I call rationally frugal. What inspired you to carry around this metaphorical cigar box and not spend money in a wasteful Silicon Valley type of way?
Well, it goes to the way I was raised. You know, I mean, I was the oldest of 11 children, and we lived in a very small home. In fact, you know, two or three children families lived in a home that was probably three times the size of the home I grew up in. And we used hand-me-down clothing and we just made do. We ate a lot of Spam and that's by the way, a ham type can you can buy that is inexpensive. But, I think frugality is living below your means. This joke that can't win around was because I was so stingy with our spending and our money that they said, well, you must have a cigar box in your drawer and you're handing out the money $1 at a time. And that was pretty true. I mean, I questioned every single PO. I made them justify all their purchases. It wasn't just on the big items. It was on the small items too, because I wanted them to have the habit and the culture of honoring and recognizing the importance of the dollar. I said, money doesn't grow on trees and do you really need that? You know, do you have to have it? And they, you know, would say, well, look at all the money we have in the bank. And I says, yeah, isn't that great? You know, and yeah, but why don't you let us spend some of it? I says, because then the more we spend, the more we want to spend. Any company that is not frugal in the way they manage their financial resources is going to go out of business.
Well, and that causes me to ask the fundamental question: how do you create a culture of rational frugality? How do you get the average employee inside of company to like not spending money, which is very opposed to human nature?
Because you make it unpleasant for them when they want to come in and spend money. So, you know. They just know it's, listen, if we go and want to purchase this particular item, it's going to be somewhat painful, and because they're going to have to go through a lot of effort, and it won't be just for these expensive high dollar items. It's going to be for almost anything. That starts the culture right there. Whether it's you're asking for a dollar or you're asking for $1 million, you know, you treat it the same.
And I've got to imagine, especially in our tech industry, when things change on a dime, when cash flow suddenly disappears, when competitors completely disrupt your revenue stream, that being rationally frugal up front pays dividends on the backside because it makes you more survivable. Let's talk about that for a second. Silicon Valley has this reputation of not being frugal, of, you know, doing things like giving away leases on BMWs as a signing bonus. Why is rational frugality so rare in Silicon Valley?
Well, I'm sorry to say, or hate to say, that it's just the, you know, these high salaries and these high cost of homes that are in Silicon Valley just gets people to believe that they're worth more than they really are. And so they demand a lot, whether it be a Mercedes or a BMW or whatever. They just think, you know, the world owes them a living, and they have the wrong attitude in my mind. And those are the kind of people I avoided hiring at Micrel, were those that had, you know, kind of a champagne appetite.
That gets to, the issue of how do you, create that corporate culture and how do you, you know, encourage certain behaviors, which is all part of the leadership dynamic. You talked about the stick, making it painful for people to come and ask for money. But what about the carrot side? How do you recognize people for having the proper frugality within inside of an organization?
Well, I mean, if you have a nice bonus program that reflects that, or if you have other ways of incentivizing them to cut costs, you know, you can have an honors program for that. There's many ways you can incentivize people for being frugal. Thing I do is, when, you know, a suggestion to the audience is that, you know, I had a list of 10 questions that I would ask the potential employee that we're going to hire, candidate, and they were, you know, they're to choose or rank them in priority. And so one of the questions I had was, how important is compensation to you? Or how important is having these perks, you know, like babysitting or free lunches or whatever. And so I had a whole list of questions, you know, 10 actually, that I would ask. And, you know, travel was another one, and your office. So, you know, I'd look at how they ranked them. And then if they ranked them pretty, some of these, their office, they, you know, was important, or their vehicle, or their compensation, or some things like that. I, you know, then that would make me less likely to hire them. You know, if they talked about the company was more important, or the product line, and some of those other things, that would, if they ranked them higher, that would be more clear that they were more interested in the company than they were in themselves.
I remember a conversation you and I had a long time ago, a story you told back before you founded Micrel. I think you got in trouble once for handing in an expense report that was below average.
Yeah, that's true. I went on a business trip, this is many years ago, but I went on this business trip, and my expense report that I turned in was way below what the other people had been turning in. And my boss said, I can't turn this one in. It will then affect all the rest of us. And he added another $200 to my expense that I had. Of course, I gave the money back to the company, you know, he added $200 just because he didn't want everybody else to look bad. So, yes, that did actually happen.
Oh, man. You know, and it goes both ways. I was a VP of a marketing department of a small company once, and we had a salesperson, and we did our first international trade show. It was over in London. And he turned in his expense report, and he had booked himself a first class ticket from San Francisco to London. And of course, I just about blew a fuse, and I went to him and just on the verge of screaming and yelling, you know, how dare you, you know, booked that for the company. And he looked me square in the eye. He said, I knew I would get in trouble, but this would be the only chance I would ever have to do something like that. So I went ahead and did it. So he had the opposite of your attitude. He was going to go ahead and gig the company, even though he knew he shouldn't.
Well, you know, I had one of my last business trips to Japan. There was a group of us went, and actually it's three of us. One of my employees actually flew business class, and I flew what you call baggage class, which was, we're on the same airplane. In other words, we're flying together on the same airline. And he kept coming back and saying, now, you sure you don't want to come up and sit in my seat? And I said, no, fine. You booked business class. It's coming out of your budget. So that's where you're going to go. And I sat back there with the rest of the baggage and flew on to Japan. But it was interesting to see here. His boss was sitting with, you know, in the middle of four people when he was just up there in business class, which is two of them. So it was just interesting to see the contrast that one of my employees flew at a higher class than I did. That's just the way I did it. I mean, I didn't ask for more or get more than I would for anybody else within the company.
You know, from a leadership perspective, how do you make people love being frugal? Because I imagine that if you can get that mindset into the corporate culture, then the organizational frugality tends to take care of itself by and large. How do you make people really like to, you know, pinch a penny and not spend a buck if they don't have to?
Well, I don't like to make people do anything. I want them to do it on their own. So let's talk about how do you have the desire, get them to have the desire to be frugal, as opposed to make them be frugal. So making people do things is not as important as having them to want the desire to do it. So again, it's you set the example, like I did on the flying on that airline. I mean, you don't think that didn't get around the company that so-and-so flew a business class and the boss flew a baggage class. I call it baggage because it's kind of like flying baggage, but as tourist as you would. But I flew in the back of the airplane and with the rest of the tourists and he flew in business. But that got around. I mean, that got everybody in the company heard that one. And that was really, and by the way, he felt so bad about it. That's the way you do it. You set the example. If you're not frugal, it's going to be hard to ask them to be frugal.
You know, I think that's the excellent point, is that most corporate culture starts at the head and works its way down. And if leaders are not willing to show some degree of frugality, then they cannot rightfully expect their employees to show frugality either.
Exactly.
Well, thank you for teaching us quite a bit about frugality with inside of an organization. Having spent 22 years in Silicon Valley, I have seen what to me appeared to be just wanton excesses in terms of spending money. And I think a lot more Silicon Valley companies would be enduring corporations and would last more than the requisite 3 years if they did have that kind of rational frugality going forward.
Exactly.
And for all of our Tough Things podcast listeners, do not be frugal with your rating and reviewing of this podcast. Make sure you go over to iTunes or Google or wherever you get your podcast content. Rate and review us. Tell your neighbors about it. Tell your business associates and any entrepreneurs you know about it, because it is some of the best education you're going to get on business that's currently available. Thanks again, Ray, and I look forward to hearing the next episode of Tough Things First.
Well, thank you, Guy. I look forward to being with you.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.